All right, what a great morning we've had together today. It's a special day. I mean, every day is unique and special in its own way. But today is one of those days that stands out. Because on this day, we aren't just gathering together to worship God. We aren't just touched this morning by the ministry of our children. We're not just going to be challenged this morning by God's Word. Today, we get to see God in action. Today we get to see Christ exalted and commitment realized. Today we get to share with five people who are saying to all of us, who are calling out to our whole community, who are shouting out to the world, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a lifelong, sold out, 100% in follower of Jesus Christ. But today, folks, as we're, in our Christmas season, if it were not for Christ identifying with us, we could not identify with Him. If Jesus didn't take the initiative, we would be so lost. If Jesus didn't proactively step into time and space, becoming a man, no matter what we could have done, no matter what we ever could do, we would be lost and without hope. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, to become to us, to redeem us, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Oh, how our beloved Jesus identified with us, how He connected with us, how He came to us, Emmanuel, God with us. Folks, at this Christmas time, at this baptism time, we gather together to say with one heart and with one voice, thank you, Jesus, for identifying with us, for coming to us. One of the great truths of Christmas is that God wanted everyone to know the Messiah, the Savior, was born. Christ's birth wasn't a secret. Christ's birth was not shrouded in some type of mystery. Christ's birth was not a surprise. God said it was going to happen hundreds of years before Jesus came. And when Jesus was born, He shouted Christ's arrival. In Genesis 3:15, right after the fall of mankind into sin, God tells Eve that from her a seed, an offering, a very certain specific child will come that will destroy Satan, the very one that had tempted them into sin. Then God reiterates that same promise to Abraham, that all the world will be blessed through him by one certain specific offspring. Then that same promise from the Garden of Eden that goes through Abraham, goes to his offspring Isaac, and then from Isaac to Jacob, whom God renamed Israel. Then from Israel to his son Judah. Then from the tribe of Judah comes the prophetic promise that the Messiah would be born from the family of Jesse, whose son was King David. From the Garden of Eden all the way to King David, spanning thousands of years, the one promise is still unfolding. Really, the whole story of the Old Testament is the slow but steady revelation of the Messiah. What does the very first verse in our New Testament say? Matthew 1:1 says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The very first thing that Matthew does is tell everyone that Jesus Christ is the one seed, the one specific promised offspring, the Messiah. We look in Luke's genealogy and he takes Jesus all the way back to Adam. Jesus is the very one talked about in Genesis 3:15. But just to make sure that we understand that Jesus is the Messiah, God gets very specific. Micah 5:2 says that the Messiah from the tribe of Judah would be born in Bethlehem. The great prophet Isaiah says in chapter 7 that this promised seed, this specific son, would be born of a virgin and his name would be called Emmanuel. Then God says through Isaiah, in chapter 9, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Over and over again throughout the Old Testament, prediction after prediction, Jesus is proven to be the one, the promised seed, that certain specific child, the Messiah. God could not have made it more clear. God said Jesus, His Son, the second person of the Trinity, was coming to this earth, and He did. God didn't just predict the birth of Jesus. No, on that very night, oh so long ago, He proclaimed the birth of His Son. When Jesus arrived, He literally wrote it in the sky for all to see. The host of God's angels proclaimed Christ's birth. Luke 2, 13 and 14 says, "And suddenly there was with the angels an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men.'" See, the sky was full of angels proclaiming the arrival of Jesus. And upon seeing the angels, the shepherds dropped everything to seek Him. It says, "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us.' And they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child." Then, of course, there's Anna and Simeon in the temple. When Jesus is presented 8 days after His birth, they hold Him in His arms. And they proclaim for all to hear throughout the temple, "This is the Messiah. This child, Jesus, is the specific one promised seed." Can you imagine how stirred up that whole temple was? "This is the child? This is the one we've been waiting for thousands of years?" Then there's the miraculous star that leads the way for the Magi who came from the east to worship this newborn king. The scripture says, "And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." The Old Testament prophesied the coming of the Messiah. And then when He came with an amazing entrance. Angels and shepherds, temple and star and magi. Not only was the birth of Jesus predicted, not only was the birth of Jesus proclaimed, but the birth of Jesus came with a specific purpose. Why He came. The angel told Joseph at the very beginning, Jesus came to save His people from their sins. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6, written hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth, describes for us the purpose of Jesus, our Savior. It says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all." Philippians 2 says that Jesus came being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. See, Jesus came with a purpose. He came to identify with us, to so love us that He took our sins. He took our place. He was our atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus came to be born to die, to bear the sin of mankind, and to rise again in victory over death and Satan. Perhaps this morning, if you're able to listen to our children and not just be mesmerized by the cuteness of them and the truth of their song. It's not about the manger where the baby lay. It's not about the angels who sang for the hymn that day. It's not about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. Guess what, folks? That's the purpose. And that's exactly what baptism pictures for us. And that's the next point. We identify with Him. Romans 6, 3 through 5 has these wonderful words for us. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried with Him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. You see, folks, baptism has two meanings. One is its literal meaning, to immerse, and it speaks of water baptism. The other is a more symbolic meaning, which means to identify or to be united with. See, baptism is both of those things. Baptism is an act of being immersed in water, but its significance is symbolic. No act on our part could ever earn our salvation, even baptism. Baptism is the expression of an obedient heart that is already in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. My little sentence that I like to use that helps me teach the truth of baptism is that baptism is an outward expression of an inward faith. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward faith. Baptism is to show everyone that you are already united with Christ because of what God has done in your heart and life. Baptism is our symbolic expression of our identification with Christ, proclaiming He is our Savior. For He so identified with us. And now in baptism, we identify with Him. Romans says that baptism is a symbol of our unification with Christ in His death, therefore putting to death our old nature, and that baptism is a symbol of our unification with Christ in His resurrection, so that we might walk in newness of life, having the old self crucified and the new self alive in worship and obedience. Therefore, the symbol of baptism is to be buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him to new life. That is what these five are going to do here this morning. They're symbolically representing their faith by identifying with Jesus Christ's death and resurrection through being immersed into and raised out of the waters of baptism. They're saying that I believe that Jesus did all of this for me. So now I'm going to give all of myself to Him. It's a joyous moment, but it's also a very serious moment. Because they're saying for all to hear, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. When Texas pastor Jim Dennison was in college, he served as a summer missionary in East Malaysia. While there, he attended a small church. At one of the church worship services, a teenage girl came forward to announce her decision to follow Christ and be baptized. During the service, Dennison noticed there was worn-out luggage leaning against the wall of the church building. He asked the pastor about it. The pastor pointed to the girl who had just been baptized and told Dennison, her father said that if she had been baptized a Christian, she could never go home again. So she brought her luggage. That's the level of sold-out commitment that we are celebrating and holding forth today. See, Jesus came, born to die, born to offer salvation, born to give eternal life. He came for you. Have you united yourself with Him? Is He your Lord? Have you put the trust of your life into Him? Have you transferred the ownership of your life to Jesus Christ? Have you looked honestly at yourself and seen your sin and look in faith and trust to Jesus and asked Him for forgiveness and new life? Well, today can be your day to take those first steps of faith, trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've never put your faith in Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord of your life, please, even right now in the quietness of your own heart and mind, you can call out, accepting His forgiveness, confessing your sin, and proclaiming Jesus as your Lord. Believer, the challenge for us today is these kind of questions. Are you a sold out follower of Christ? Are you 100% in? Is that story that we told earlier, if that was you, would you have brought your luggage to your baptism? Can you say with that girl, can you say with the Apostle Paul, what gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Boy, grasp that this morning. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Let's pray together. Father, now we rejoice in You. We rejoice in Your Son. We rejoice in Your Spirit. We rejoice in Your plan that was so beautifully given that Christmas season. And we rejoice in Your plan that was so powerfully lived out that Easter season of death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray now, if you're here now today and you've not made that decision to follow Him, right now, as your eyes are closed, as you're in a moment of prayer, come to Him and admit your sin and confess Jesus as your Savior and believe in your heart. And believer, for you now, in these next moments that are following, in this picture of baptism, think about your baptism. Think about the commitment you made to Christ. Evaluate. Do some work with God. Use this time now, the celebration of these commitments. Use it to recommit yourself to Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.